It is good to have Brother Ron back here with us today this morning after 7 years absent. You were always with us, I know. Some of the faces you see are the same faces.
A little bit older.
Yeah, they're older. You know, we all got older. And falling apart to some extent, except for a few. The girls didn't get older, see. Now, we have to be careful without that. The girls got younger. All right. John, the 7th chapter. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the ability to come here and to share your word and to help us to glorify you in every way that we do this. Open our minds to your word. Help us to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and convict us of the service that you want us to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're talking about, I'm teaching on the Gospel of John on Wednesday night, and from Greek, and we're getting a little bit of Greek as we go through here. I'm just salt and peppering you with it, just a little of it. Not very much, but where things are very important, I bring it out. We're doing the creation of the heavens and the earth on Sunday afternoon. That's this afternoon. That's the most downloaded classes that we have. Creation versus evolution. And it's fantastic. And the class is sometimes 90 minutes long. I try to make it 60 minutes, but they won't let me. It just doesn't do that. That's true, Brother Mike. I try to stop, but they won't.
For a vote, and then I'll vote go. Keep going.
They don't want to quit. Anyway, John 7, meditate, that's how it starts out. After these things, that John's favorite phrase. After these things, Jesus was walking in what? Galilee. Now, what about Galilee? Galilee means what?
Circle.
All right, how many cities were there in Galilee?
Ten.
How many people were in each city?
Up to
15,000 people in each city, so we got about 150,000 people there. That's a lot of people, all right, around that city, okay? Now, you've got the scene here. You're in Galilee. It's a beautiful big lake there, and it's very traditional Jewish cities all around here. Many of them had synagogues in them, and Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and every time he goes in the synagogue, there's a warrant out for his arrest. They want to kill him. And in the city of Jerusalem, in Judea, which is that part of the area up there, in Judea, there is a warrant out for his arrest and murder. They want to kill him. So now Jesus has been teaching for about 3 years, okay? And they want to kill him because he is not going according to their little program. What did they say? Why did they want to kill him? He's going to take our religion away from us, and then what is he going to do? He's going to take our nation away from us. Now, according to the word of God, the king of Israel would come. And he was the king of Israel, and he is the rightful heir to the throne. But who was on the throne?
Herod,
which was a descendant of Esau. All right, and who put him on the throne? Anthony and Cleopatra put him on the throne. Okay. And basically, he turned Jerusalem into a Roman city. That's what it was. And he built a great big temple. That made them happy. Even the wrong man's on the throne, but he built a great big temple. So now they're happy. He was unwilling to walk in Judea. He was walking in Galilee because the Jews were seeking to murder him. Now, in the Ten Commandments, from the Hebrew, what did the Ten Commandments say? Thou shalt not keep on murdering, because they were murderers. You shall not keep on murdering. They were murderers in the imperfect tense. They kept on murdering, but he said, you shall not keep on murdering. But what were they doing here? Breaking one of the most violent command of all. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, paradise. We're going to look at that too. That's coming up in the creation series. They were in this paradise. God put them in this paradise, and they sinned, and they gobbled up the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't eat a little of it. You know, all you see them taking an apple and biting into the apple? That wasn't what they did. Brother Roger, what did they do? They ate the whole tree. They ate it all. I'm not sure they didn't break off the branches and eat them. Because it said they just kept on eating, they kept on eating, and they kept on eating. They didn't eat a bite. They just kept on eating. Okay? And then the first thing they saw after this, they thought they were going to live forever, and they thought, you know, God promised them a Messiah. And this is the Messiah that he promised them right here. Thousands, basically 4,000 years later, they had to wait. And the first child they had, they named him what? Cain. Cain. Because they had gotten. And Eve said, I've gotten a man et Jehovah. Even Jehovah. This is the Messiah. He's born. The King of Israel was born. This is him. But he was a murderer. He was a murderer. He took after that Adamic nature, that evil. They saw the full fruit of their sin bloom and break forth. He murdered his brother, probably his twin brother. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, or the feast of what? Tabernacles was at hand. Now we're going to hear from Jesus' brothers. These are his brothers. Adelphois from his brothers. Who are these brothers now? What does the word brother mean, Adelphos? Brother Andy, you know what that means? How about you Greek scholars? Brother, you remember what that means, Adelphos?
From the same womb.
From the same womb. Who was her mother? Mary. These are Jesus' literal brothers and sisters that have come. Now his brothers start giving him advice that his brothers didn't believe any, by the way. Now, how many books in the New Testament were written by Jesus' brothers? Brother Bill. How many books in the New Testament written by Jesus' brothers? Brother Rex?
James and Jude
were written by his brothers. We got two of them there. Later on, they became believers, but right now, they're not believers. Right now, they're wanting to propagate their family. Aha! Make us important, Jesus. Make us important. All right? So now look and see what his brothers say, his brothers' advice. His brothers said to him, depart from here. Go into Judea. For your church, that word disciples, mathetes is the word there in Greek. And mathetes means what? Brother Ruiz, remember what that means? All right? Habitual learners. These are the ones that followed him every day, the mathetes, the disciples. I just wanted to see what you remembered, brother. You're next, Ron. All right, his church. What does the word church mean? Ecclesia, Sister Andina.
Called out.
One's called out. When did he begin to call these disciples out? At the Sea of Galilee, this is his church. This church is with him. He said, your disciples, depart from here and go into Galilee, that your disciples also may behold your works. What kind of works? Miracles. Go show them some miracles, Jesus. This is pretty neat, Jesus. Go show them some miracles. Which you are doing. Did they believe him? No, not yet. When did his brothers become disciples?
After the resurrection.
After the resurrection. All right. So now these are not believers here. These people will not believe either. There's many of them. And they would not believe. That's the title of the message. They would not believe. Why? The proof was all there. We're going to see one proof after the other, and the people denying the proofs. For no one does anything in secret. Now, he's telling them, remember when Jesus said, you don't put a light under a bushel basket, you know, Matthew the 13th chapter, you don't put a light under a bushel, you put it on a hill so they can see you, and it's a landmark like a lighthouse in the ocean. He's turning these words on them. They heard them, but they didn't believe them. Okay? For no one does anything secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Get out there, Jesus. Go out there. Now, what was Galilee? Do you remember that? What was Galilee?
Crossroads.
The crossroads of the whole ancient world. Everybody went through there. His ministry was in exactly the right place. That was a crossroads world. It was like New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Tel Aviv, the crossroads of the world. For not even his brothers kept on believing in him. They would not believe at this time. They kept on not believing in him. Verse number 6. Now Jesus answers them, and therefore Jesus said to them, my time is not yet at hand, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you. Because why? They weren't believers. You boys don't believe. You boys don't want to believe. You're my brothers. You've seen me grow up. And I'm too familiar with you. Just too familiar. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. When the Holy Spirit comes, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Convict the world of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. All right? I testify that its deeds are evil. The deeds of the world, the religious world, is what he's talking about. Who was in control here? The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sanhedrin court. Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time is not yet fully come. Now, he just kind of bent the truth just a little bit here. He said, I'm not going up. He didn't go up immediately, did he? But he went up. He went up. Verse number 9. And having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee for a little while. All right. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not publicly, privately, in secret. He slipped in. And the Jews, therefore, were seeking him at the feast and were saying, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Why did they want him? Why did the Jews want to get him? They wanted to murder him. There was a contract out on Jesus. What was the money and how much they were going to pay for somebody to kill Jesus or betray him? What was the contract? How much money was the contract for?
The 30 pieces of silver.
That was a lot of money. That's a month's wages at least. A month's wages at least. That was the price of a slave. You could buy a slave for that much. Where is he? Verse number 12. And there was much grumbling among them. They were grumbling and griping and fighting and saying, why haven't you caught him? Why haven't you caught him? They'd look at the guards. Why haven't you caught him? Why haven't you caught him? Where is he? What are we paying you for? And the multitudes concerning him, some were saying he's a good man. Now, Islam says that Jesus was a good man, doesn't it? But I'll tell you what, they say he didn't die on the cross of Calvary. They say he didn't. But he did, didn't he? The whole story was that he died on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross of Calvary because the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Psalms, Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53, said he would die on the cross of Calvary before the act of crucifixion was ever even invented. 800 years before Christ. He's a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he is an evil man. He leads people astray. Some of the people say, well, he's a good guy. And another said, he's evil. Let's kill him. Verse number 13, yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. They were afraid. They were afraid to even speak Jesus' name. In the land of Israel today, it's not popular to speak the name of Jesus still. Unless you're a tour guide getting paid to lead some Christian around over there and look at these holy sites. Verse number 14. But when it was now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and kept on teaching. He went up into the temple. Not in the temple itself, but in the temple area, and he kept on teaching. Right in the area where they would debate. Here's your temple over here. He went in these outer courts of the temple here, and he began to debate and kept on to teaching. All right? Verse number 15. The Jews, therefore, were marveling, saying, how has this man become learned, having not been educated in one of our rabbinical schools? Brother Roger, you've been around Jews a lot, haven't you? And then these modern Orthodox Jews, what did they do? They take the Mishnah and the Talmud and they argue over it day and night. Day and night. And what is the Mishnah and the Talmud? There's two Talmuds, by the way. There's the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud is older, that is, than the Jerusalem Talmud. What do they do?
It's the rabbi's comment on the scriptures.
Yeah, these are the comments on the scriptures, and they'll argue over these comments. Not the scriptures. People read commentaries, not the Bible. They read commentaries. Read the Bible. The Bible has a lot of light to shed on the Bible, especially read it from the original languages. You'd be surprised what you're going to find there. Having never been educated in one of our rabbinical schools, verse number 16, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, my teaching is not mine, but he is who sent me. He is who sent me. Who sent Jesus? His Father. Did Jesus send himself? Sure did. The whole triune God was involved in this situation. The whole triune God. I'm going to give you a little bit of my afternoon class here for just a moment, okay? God created man in his what? In his shadow casting likeness. What's that mean? Spiritual. Okay. Look at it up here. I ought to get one of you to come up here and do this. Ron, I'm not going to get you up here. Don't be afraid. He created him in his shadow casting likeness. The shadow is considered what?
Image.
The spirit. Spirit. Okay. So here's spirit. Now, what part of God is spirit? Basically all of God, but what part of God is specifically spirit? It's called the Holy Spirit. All right. Holy Spirit. Okay. So he's going to make man in his spiritual image. And then it said he is going to make him in his blood flowing likeness. And that word, that's his physical likeness, and that word comes from the Hebrew word dam. Dam means red or blood. Okay? Red or blood. He'd make him in his physical likeness, so that is material. You know, that thing is not working. The material, and the material is what?
Jesus.
Huh? Jesus. God made man in his image of the pre-incarnate Christ before Jesus. He made him in that image. Okay? So now we have man in his shadow casting likeness, his spiritual likeness, and his physical likeness. And then what else did he say for he was supposed to do? Now we come to the mental element, to the soul. To the soul. The soulish part of man, the soulishness. And he made him what? He said, let him have what? Dominion, dominus, domini. Dominion, what does that mean? What is dominion? His sovereignty. He became sovereign. Sovereign. He was a man of volition, but power and thinking. This is his mental image, his soul. Let him have, he will be sovereign. In his sovereign image. Spiritual, physical, mental. Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. Like that. God the Father. Now let me tell you something. When you die, you're not complete, are you? Why? Because you are triune, made in the image of God. Without the resurrection, your body, your spirit, and your soul never goes to sleep. It never goes out of existence. Never. Your body dies, and it's in the ground. And there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The just and the unjust. The just, those that are saved. Now, my wife asked me a question yesterday. What happens to your spirit and your soul? When are you judged? When you die? And I said, no, you're judged before you die. Aren't you? What is that judgment? Whether you accepted Jesus Christ and called upon Him to save your soul or not. You already fixed your eternity before you die. It's fixed one way or the other. If you didn't believe, you don't go there. Your spirit and your soul go to Hades immediately. If you die in Christ, you immediately go to be with God. Okay? Your spirit and your soul go there. But you're not complete, are you? Now, we know that your soul has an image and everything else because from Luke, the 16th chapter, we see people walking around there and they got some kind of spiritual image of some sort. They can recognize each other somehow. They can thirst, they can think, they can remember, they can feel pain, all of these people that are in Hades. But without the resurrection, you are not complete. And the lost will be resurrected and the saved will be resurrected. The lost would be resurrected in their cursed bodies with pain. The saved will be resurrected in their good bodies. I'm looking forward to that, boy. I'll tell you that right now. I'm falling apart all over. Here you have just a little bit of the creation of man, okay? Let me tell you something else. The Muslim people don't believe that you're responsible for Adam's sins. What tells you that you're responsible for Adam's sin? What evidence do we have that you're responsible for Adam's sin? Brother Bill, do you know? What evidence do you have that you're responsible for Adam's sins? Number one thing, you got a death sentence. And another thing, all through our lives, some people, not all everybody, I mean somebody's lucky. Some of these people are lucky. They can be 80 years old and never have a disease. Hardly a common cold. But you know that every disease that you have in your body is tainted because those diseases are parasites. Cancer is a parasite.
The blood's tainted.
Yeah, the blood that comes from the man is infected with all of these infections. And guess what? You know, people used to kill animals and drink their blood. Drinking whatever disease they had right into them. In America, the American Indians, there were 150,000 Indians, 150 million Indians in the North and South America before 1491. Those Spanish brought those hogs to this country and spread disease all over this country from one end of it. Within 100 years, nearly 100 million people had died because of the diseases that those hogs carried. Tremendous blow to this continent. The disease is in the blood. Every time you have a cold, that is an ungodly, unrighteous, demonic disease. It's attacking you. Rhinovirus. The flu. How many of you had the flu here lately? I got a real good dose of it. You know that is a demonic virus in there. That is a fallen virus. That's mutating, and you know what? Those viruses will kill you. And they kill the host. The virus is living in the host, but they're going to kill their host, the parasites. Sin's a parasite. It's a parasite. Sin keeps you from being saved. Sin keeps you from serving the Lord. Go on a little further. Number 17, if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Number 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Look at that. He who speaks of himself, he seeks his own glory. Who's he talking about here, Brother Mike? Remember them guys that stood on the street corners with their little phylacteries and all of this and telling everybody how great they are when they'd pray, thank you, God, that I'm not born a woman. That's the first thing they'd say. Well, is it not? Yeah. Thank you, God, that I'm not born a woman. And thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that guy over here. I'm righteous. I tithe. I do this. I do everything right. And he goes home unjustified. Still just a religious man. Religion either condemn you or it can save you, one or the other. Religion has damned more people in the world than has ever saved. I guarantee you. Number 19, did not Moses give you the law? What's the law? We call that the Decalogue. How many laws did those Jews have? How many, brother? Real loud. 613 laws. The Lord gave us 10 laws. The Jews gave us 613. Now, mankind will always give you more laws than the Lord will. I guarantee you, false religion will have more demands on you than the truth ever will. You know, it's really, really hard to tell somebody that's a Catholic or somebody that's a Jehovah's Witness or somebody that's a Mormon that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you ask them, you believe in him, who he was, that he's God the Son, that he came down. God came down in flesh to save you, John 1:14. And the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Also says there in John, the first chapter, that he came unto his own and his own received him not. He came unto his own creation, and the creation itself was glad to see him. Out there in the wilderness when he was fasting for 40 days, all the wild animals came to him. Had no problem with them. He has trouble with wild people. I said that in little Oklahoma, didn't I? Wild people. One of my students over there in Japan, Gina Tanaka, she's teaching her children how to learn English. They're learning English as they listen to me preach. And I said, they won't learn English. They're going to learn Okie. Maybe a little flair to it there. Not quite to Queen's English. Okay. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet not one of you carries it out? And they told them they're all lawbreakers. You didn't keep the law. You keep on wanting to murder me. You keep on lying. You keep on plotting against me. Thou shalt not covet. They wanted his position. Thou shalt not lie. They were committing lies, and they were committing perjury, and they were committing first-degree murder. No other way you can look around it. They're trying to hire people to kill him. At least catch him so we can kill him. We'll do it. We'll do the job. Why do you seek to kill me? Why do you keep on seeking to kill me? Why are you doing this? And the multitude answers, you have a demon. What's a demon? Remember what a demon means? Sharon, do you know what a demon means? You remember that? Scare you to death, didn't you? You know what? I put a video off this morning with Brett coming up here in front of the class. You guys probably don't remember. He got up and spoke for about 20 minutes telling what he'd learned in this class. It's out there. Anyway, he got up there and told him, boy, I came to this class and I was going to teach him. After about 10 or 15 classes, I got getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Finally, I didn't know anything. Boy, he's sharp now, isn't he? He's sharp now. About 10 years of that. He said, boy, I learned more in this class than I did in college ever. Well, we come from a biblical standpoint. When you got a good basis, when you got a good foundation, you can really make headway. The multitude answered, say, you have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? Well, they were. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I did one deed. I did one miracle. And you all marvel. One miracle. He did a lot of miracles. But he did one. Almost everybody had seen him perform at least one giant miracle, one great sign. They had seen him to do this. On this account, Moses has given you circumcision. What was this circumcision business? Covenant. It was a sign of the covenant. The circumcision was a sign of the covenant. And when they pull that foreskin out, guess what? Now this is something else. It's a sign of the cross. There's the cross. Okay, there's the sign of the cross. Even circumcision was a sign of the cross to come. Okay? He said he gave you circumcision. And everybody was circumcised. If you were a Gentile, that means all of us mainly. If you're a Gentile, if you came to Judaism and you wanted to, you'd have to go to a synagogue, and you'd have to go through all of the laws, the 613 laws. You'd have to go and memorize all of this stuff and get up and say what the Feast of Israel, how many feasts were there? Seven feasts of Israel. You had to be willing to follow all the rules of all these feasts and these 613 laws and everything, and then you'd get up and you'd state that you were leaving your old national identity and you're becoming a spiritual Jew. And then they would baptize you. And you would die to your old nationality and be raised anew. And that's what they call being born again among them. They knew what was going on. They knew exactly what was going on. Moses gave you the law. Not one of you carries it out. You seek to kill me? And then he said, you say, you have a demon? He said, Moses gave you circumcision. Not because it was from Moses, but from the fathers. Who were the fathers? Who was the first man to circumcise his child? Abraham was his name, Avraham. What's Avraham mean? Remember that one? Avraham. Exalted father of a multitude. His name was Avram to begin with, which means exalted father. And then he put an H in there, a heth. H is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and also it's the number of grace in the Bible. Yes?
In Spanish, it's Abram.
All right, Abram. Yeah. Abram. It rolls that R, too, just like it does in Hebrew. Abram. All right. Just like Arom. That's an evil one. Okay? It was not from Moses, but from the patriarchs. From Abraham. By the way, Abraham baptized every one of his servants, baptized every one of them, and circumcised all of his servants. So they would be in the covenant, the Barith. The Barith. Barith. Just think about the word Barith. In the New Testament, it's diatheke. It means the same thing. Barith means what? Remember what Barith means? Sharon, you remember that one? Barith? Roger. A cutting. A cutting, the Barith. The sign of the covenant was what? Circumcision. And the women were in the covenant because their men were circumcised. They were in the same covenant. All right? And in the New Testament, what is the sign of the new covenant? What's the sign of the new covenant in the New Testament? Baptism. We don't need circumcision anymore. It's baptism, okay? We don't need to observe the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. On the Sabbath, you circumcise a man now. Now, Jesus, he would always go to assembly on the Sabbath. Paul went to assembly on the Sabbath. Why? Because that's when Jews are meeting. When he'd go into these synagogues, synagoge, that's what it comes from in Greek, it's what in Hebrew? Moed, which means the place of gathering. Okay? When he'd go to these places, he would heal people. Because in the local synagogues, they had scribes, and they had Pharisees, and they had local Levites, usually, priests, okay, in all of these synagogues. And he would prove in each synagogue that he was the Messiah, King of Israel. Because those scribes, which were what, Brother Bill? The scribes?
The scribes.
Yeah.
County clerk.
It's the recorders. You go down and record marriages, they did that. They recorded deeds, they recorded sales. Everything, you had to go to the scribe to get that done. So the scribe would have to write out that this person was healed. That he was once blind, now he sees. That he was once a leper, but now he's cleansed. That he was once dead, now he's not alive, not dead. He's once blind, now he can see. They had to do this every time Jesus did this. You circumcise a man on the Sabbath. Now, circumcision is work, isn't it? Who does that work? The priest. The priests are working. Okay? The priest. Okay? They're working. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, if you're not circumcised, you're not part of the covenant. Okay? And they brought him usually to the synagogue, and many times that circumcision fell on the Sabbath. Not every time, because it's on what day? Eighth day. But many times it fell on that eighth day was on the Sabbath. Okay? Brother Rex.
I think you just answered it.
Okay. All right. Just hang on. It'll come out. Are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? Now you take and circumcise a man and you sign the covenant of the circumcision. That's just one little piece of a man. But I'm making a whole man whole. You are spiritually aligning yourself with this man when you're circumcising, when you're accepting him into the synagogue. By the way, how many people had to be in a synagogue to start one?
A minimum of 10.
Jesus said that the minimum of a real New Testament assembly is how many? Where two or three assembled in my authority. Now, that's not talking about just people. That's talking about a church authority. I am with them. He went from 10 to 3. He took the Seder, Hasador, he took the Passover away from the families and gave that to the church. The families. Now the church is our family, the church family. Back then, every Jewish society, the family celebrated the Passover, and each family taught what they were supposed to do. But he took that authority from the family and gave it to the assembly, to the church. I made an entire man well on the Sabbath. Verse number 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Number 25. And therefore some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? This is the man that the hit list is on. This is the guy. Verse 26. And look, he is speaking publicly now. And they are saying nothing to him. These people want to kill him. The rulers do not really know that this is a Christ, do they? Did they know that this was Jesus? Sure they knew who is Jesus. How did Herod find out where the Messiah was going to be born? You remember that? How did Herod find out where the Messiah was supposed to be born? Brother Rex. It was in the Scriptures. It was in the Scriptures. That's how they found it out. Where was he supposed to be born? Bethlehem of Judea. Where was he going to be raised? Nazareth. Where was he going to flee to? Egypt. All this was in the Scriptures, wasn't it? All these prophecies. Okay. Therefore, some of the people in Jerusalem were saying, is this not the man whom they were seeking to kill? And they look, and look, he is speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him. The rulers, do they not know that this is Christ? Do they? They don't know who he is. Verse 27, however, we know where this man is from. But whenever the Christ may come, no one knows where he's from. Now, some of these people didn't even know their own Bible, did they? A lot of people go to church, but they don't even bring a Bible. They just come to be around other people. They'll get in there and they'll meet with each other and eat donuts and have a good time and sing a couple of songs and go home. But they don't know anything about any more about the Bible today than they did when they came this morning. But they had a good time. Like going to a football game, a little PTA meeting or something, you know, club meeting of some sort. Jesus therefore cried out in the temple and teaching and saying, ye both know me and know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. You don't know my Father. You don't know God. You're not related to him. Is Jesus your family? Right now? Is he your family? Yeah. He's part of your family if you know him. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. Verse number 30. And they kept on seeking, therefore, to seize him. And no man laid his hand on him because his hour was not yet come. His hour. It wasn't the season. It wasn't the hour for them to arrest him. He had things to do yet. I've been falling apart for the last 10 years. And they keep giving me death sentence, one after the other, or these doctors do. You know, almost 4 years ago, they didn't give me 3 months to live. 10 years ago, I wasn't supposed to live very much. But I'll tell you what, I'll be here until the Lord's finished with me. I'll tell you what, I think it's pretty close. Because I'm just about to fall plumb apart. But many of the multitude believed in him, and they were saying, when the Christ shall come, he will not perform more signs and wonders than this, will he? How can he do more wonders and signs than he's doing? How could the Messiah be anyone but him? Some of them were believing now. Some wouldn't believe. The Pharisees heard the multitude muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to welcome him into their synagogue. What does it say there? Did I lie, brother? What's it say, Brother Luis? They're going to seize him. They're going to kill him if they can. They weren't going to welcome him. Verse number 33, and Jesus therefore said, for a little while longer I am with you, and then I go to him who sent me. You seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. Now the Jews, therefore, said to one another, now they're really messed up. Is he going to go and speak to them Greeks now? Those Gentiles? Is he going to leave us and go to the Gentiles? Is he going to start a Gentile church? Yes, he did, didn't he? The church would become a Gentile church. When was that Gentile church prophesied in the Old Testament? You remember that? Who prophesied that? Who prophesied that Gentile church?
God to Abraham.
Who?
God to Abraham.
No. Way before Abraham. Way before Abraham. It was a prophecy out of Noah's mouth. He said, Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. They will carry forth the gospel. There he told the whole history of the world in that prophecy of mankind. Where does this man tend to go? And we shall not find him. Is he not intending to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? Is he going to take it from us and give it to the Greeks? Yep. That's exactly what was going to happen in the end. But he had to come to who first? He had to come to the Jews first. I'll go to the house of Israel first. And when the house of Israel had to reject Jesus before he could turn to the Gentiles. Because the administrators of the kingdom was the Jews. But the administrators of the kingdom denied and would not accept their king. So when they rejected the king, when Israel rejected the king, he rejected them. So he set them aside. For all during the church age, they were set aside. We know they're coming back together again because the nation went into dispersion like just exactly like Ezekiel said it would be. They were dispersed first. Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. But they're going to be regathered again. Ezekiel 36, 20 through 24. And we know that they're being regathered again. They're still ungodly buzzards. But the Lord's going to save at least one-third of them. Two-thirds of them are going to have to die first before he can get their attention. What is this statement that he said in verse 36? You will seek me and you will not find me. And where I go, you cannot come. I guarantee you. You just can't go and walk into heaven, can you? You just don't do that. I don't care. Donald Trump can't go to heaven. Not with his money. Bill Gates can't get into heaven with his money. He can't buy something that will transport him there. I don't care who you are, you can't get there from here. Okay? Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, now he's going to, on the last day of the feast, what would they do? You remember what they do on the last day of the feast? They did something that the Old Testament, that rock followed Israel in the wilderness, didn't they? That rock followed Israel in the wilderness, and what did the rock do? Gave them water. Now on the last day of the feast, they would pour out a drink offering to God. And let's see what Jesus said when they pour out the drink offering. Now the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out when they poured out the drink offering. If any man is thirsty, let him come. And who did that rock represent in the Old Testament? The rock of Israel was Jesus, the Messiah, King of Israel. Let him come to me and drink. I am the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness. I am the true bread that came down from God. I am the true manna. I am the one that gave, you know, when he broke all that, broke that and created all that food and fed those 5,000 people, 7,000 people, 15,000 people, 20,000 people. Come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. Everybody wants living water. What is living water? Huh? That's running water come out of a stream. That's fresh water. It's pure water. It's clean water. Pure water. When they would take and wash all of the, they even washed the Passover lamb. That Passover lamb had to be washed in living water, not cistern water. It had to be flowing water, living water. When they took the little doves, they would dip both of the doves in there. They would pull one of them's head off and put the water and put the blood in water. Take the one that they were going to turn loose and dip him in that bloody water and then turn him loose. That's us. We are dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ and we are set free. That was the cleansing of the leper. As the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit of those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Then we have the division, verse number 40. Division over Jesus. Some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, were kept on saying, this certainly is the prophet. Who's the prophet?
Elijah.
They think this is Elijah, which was supposed to be the forerunner of the Christ. This is Elijah. But others were saying, this is the Christ. Not the forerunner, but the Christ himself. Every time they had a Passover dinner, they would set a plate for Elijah. They would have a loaf of bread, and they would have a cup for Elijah. And every year, at the end, they would say, next year in Jerusalem. But they wouldn't touch Elijah's cup and Elijah's bread. But Jesus, after the Passover dinner, took and broke Elijah's bread. And he took that cup, he gave him a piece of that bread, and he said, this is my body that's broken for you. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. When you were circumcised in the Old Testament, there was blood. Blood was shed. In the New Testament, we're baptized. That's the sign of the covenant. It doesn't get you saved, by the way. Baptism doesn't save you. You get saved before the baptism, and you're baptized to sign the covenant, the new covenant. You surrender your life, and you're baptized, and you sign that covenant. That's the sign of the covenant. And that covenant represents the blood of Jesus Christ. That covenant, his death, burial, and resurrection. There is no new covenant without the death, burial, and resurrection, regardless what Islam says. Still others are saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David, from Bethlehem, the village of David was? Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Somebody missed the boat someplace. They got a little not enough information, did they? Sometimes people have too much information. These didn't have enough. Verse number 43, and there arose a division, a split, a schism of the multitude because of him, and some of them wanted to seize him. But no one laid hands on him. Some of them wanted to kill him, one of them seize him. Now one time they wanted to seize him and make king out of him, didn't they? And the other ones wanted to seize him. Two people wanted to seize him. One seize him and make a king out of him, and the other ones wanted to seize him and kill him. And both of them are wrong. Both of them are wrong. The officer therefore came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why did you not bring him? What you been doing? What are we paying you for? Why didn't you grab him? Verse 46, and the officers asked, never did a man speak this way this man speaks. They were flabbergasted. They were afraid to lay their hands on him. And the Pharisees therefore answered them, you have not also been led astray, have you? Boy, now you're one of them. No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him. Has he? Not one of the rulers of the Pharisees. has believed in him, has he? They answer question. Now we have the answer in just a couple of verses. But this multitude which does not know the law is accursed. Then who we have here? We have a mob buster stand up. His name means mob buster. What's his name? Nicodemus. Nico means to conquer, like Nikes, Nike shoes, that means to conquer. And Demas means people. It means a crowd of people. The crowd buster, he was a powerful man. He was a powerful ruler. And Nicodemus said to them, he who came to them before being one of them, all right, now he's believed. Nicodemus, we have a saved Pharisee. What do you know about that? We got one, at least right here. We know there's one other one. Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing. Does it? Isn't that what Pontius Pilate said? 52. And they answered and said to him, you are not also from Galilee, are you? You're one of them. Yeah, he was. Jesus even saved one of the Pharisees. That's a whole lot of them now. There's just one of them got saved. Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee. Which great prophet of the Old Testament came from Galilee? Which one? Come on, guys, girls. Which prophet came out of Galilee? He's the one that took a boat ride.
Jonah.
The book of John of the Old Testament, Jonah. Probably took a boat ride, and then he got a Leviathan ride, didn't he? Some great beast, monster, swallowed him and took him for a several thousand mile trip before he spit him out on the ocean, or out on the seashores of the Nineveh. The river shores, river banks anyway. Search and see that no prophet comes out of Galilee. Okay, and that's where it ends. Now next week I'm going to tell you why the next few verses are not in the Bible. How many times have you seen these verses preached where the woman was caught in adultery? But we find out it's not there. That was added many, many, many years later. That's a story. That's a legend. It's not part of the scriptures. And if you look there, you'll see that there's a parenthesis around it. We'll read it next week, but we know that didn't go back to Jesus' time. All right. Do you have any questions? Before I turn you loose on the world, do you have any questions? Randy, you got a question?
Not right now.
Not right now. All right, Sharon, you got a question? You go watch your son give you his testimony here. Go to that deal. It's on, it says that it's in Bible in 8 Ages, one of these classes. I think it's 261 or somewhere around there. 261 or something like that. Brother Mike, you got a question? Sharon? Ron? You flabbergasted?
I'm loaded right now.
All right. Chance, you got a question. Adriana. All right. Sister Andino. Luis. Any of you have a question? Brother Rex. It's good to have this young lady here with us now. Linda, good to have you. Remember her in your prayers. All right. David, it's yours.
Okay. On our prayer list today, Jim and Marilyn like prayers for class. And also good health for each and every one of us. And also good